From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 19th day of February 2020. Have you registered yet for the All-Day Ag Outlook? If not, right now is a great time to do that at 800-898-1065 or online at willag.org. The cost is just $30 and we're less than 2 weeks away. Get yourself registered today. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Joe Vaklevic. He's at Standard Grain, and a bit later in the program, Drew Lerner will be here to discuss the weather forecast. Oh, and along the way, I'll tell you a bit about tomorrow's webinar on soil and water across the state of Illinois. You can sign up for that as well, but you'll need to call your local extension office. More details during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the way the numbers finished in Chicago. March corn for this Thursday at $3.80.5, down 2.5. The May 2.25 lower, $3.85.25 the settlement price. July corn at $3.88.25, down 2.25, and December at $3.90.75, 2.5 lower. March beans up a nickel, $8.97.25 the settlement price, $9.05.5 the settlement for the May at 3.25 higher, and July up a penny and a half at $9.15.5. November at 9.23, up 1.75 cents after a big jump yesterday. July wheat off a penny and a quarter today at 5.61 1/4. For the soft red, the bean oil down 14 cents. The bean meal up 80 cents for the day. And live cattle in the February contract about 12.5 lower. April up 20. Feeders were $1.40 higher, and the lean hogs around $2 higher for the afternoon at 2.07.5 higher. 67.57.5. Joe Vaklevic is here now. He is with Standard Grain out of Gallatin, Tennessee. Thanks, Joe, for being with us today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, let's start with China. This is the week that China was supposed to be maybe starting in the market, or at least when the official phase one trade deal starts. What are we hearing from inside the trade about any purchases or theories on purchases?
There was an article over the weekend that was printed in Bloomberg suggesting that China would, in fact, begin some purchases of U.S. agricultural products either in late February or early March. So I do, if I had to guess, and nobody knows for sure, if I had to guess, I would say yes, we will see some increased purchases sometime in the next 3 weeks. Now, could they just be goodwill purchases and purchases that just let the U.S. know essentially that they're still interested in being a part of this trade deal? I think that's very possible. I think it's possible that you see a one and done, or just not enough to really put a dent in this stuff. There's the other possibility, of course, which is that they start small and nobody believes it at first, and then you really start to see a surge in purchases. I think that's a less likely scenario, but I'm not going to say it's impossible.
Do you suppose USDA, during its ag forum tomorrow and Friday, will manage to put more of those Chinese phase one numbers into their projections?
Well, they kind of did in that February WASD report. You know, they did increase the soybean export number, and they directly cited China as being the reason for that increase in the report. There was no other reason to increase that export number, because sales are not where they need to be. Shipments are not where they need to be. So they kind of, I think, showed their hand a little bit in that February WASD when they increased the export number by 50 million, citing China as the reason. So I'm curious. That's actually one of the things that I'm interested in the meetings here Thursday and Friday. I don't really care about their acreage projections. I don't know that is anything that is really actionable or that means a whole lot. I don't think that their balance sheet projections, which are all based, it's all predicated on weather. I mean, you can't predict the balance sheet unless you know what the weather or the yields are going to be. But I am interested to see at least what they think about the China situation. And that doesn't mean that their thoughts are going to be correct, but I'm curious which direction they're leaning.
Some other things we'll see from the United States Department of Agriculture at the Ag Forum this week include some acreage figure projections. However, the actual numbers won't come out until the end of the month of March. Do you have some thoughts?
Well, if I had to guess, I would say that you see an increase in corn acreage. I mean, the trade's looking for something about 94 million in corn. Maybe it's higher than that. I've talk to a lot of people, and they'll tell you that profitability in corn is maybe a little bit better, and neither crop looks good right now. I'll say that. Neither crop looks good, but I think that corn is the clear winner here. So I think you will see an increase in corn acreage. I think you'll see soybean acreage also up from last year, but below corn acreage, somewhere in the mid to upper 80s is what I think. Now, does that... I've got to say this, and I said this on TV over the weekend. Somebody asked me about the acreage, and I said, you know, as a grain marketer, and a lot of people listening to your program here are probably farmers, there's not a whole lot you can do with the acreage numbers. If I told you today that the acreage number was 95 million in corn, and I could guarantee you that that's what USDA would print, I mean, what could you do with that? Are you going to go sell a whole bunch of grain because you know what the number is? I just don't think it really works like that. I don't know anybody who's had a whole lot of luck guessing USDA report and guessing USDA reports, and then also guessing to go with it. What does the market do as a result? Unless you get a really extreme surprise, of course. So I personally think, Todd, I think we pay way too much attention to this stuff. I know we have to know what's going on. We as analysts, we have to know the situation. We have to know what the balance sheets say. But if you're a farmer and you're trying to market grain here, I don't know if this really does a whole lot for you.
So the point, I suppose, is, and this is something you were likely taught at the University of Illinois, the beginning of the year, everything is normal until it's not, right? And that's the way you discover profitability and try to make that your goalpost for sales.
In the grander scheme of your life as a farmer, profitability is really the only thing that matters. There's so much noise out there, and USDA, I mean, it's useful. It's the best data we have. It's the gold standard for data, and it's good and certainly a positive thing to know what's going on. But, you know, when it comes down to making money year after year, the prices and being able to take advantage of profitable price levels, that's the name of the game. And these USDA reports, in most cases, I would say we get way too worked up about this stuff. And then there's a few cases where, yeah, you get a real big surprise and it really throws you off guard and messes up the markets. But that's not really the rule.
I expect you get asked a great deal about basis. What are you telling producers?
Well, I almost feel like I've heard people complain about the basis. And that sounds odd because you would think that good basis would be viewed upon very favorably, and for a lot of people it is, but I think for other people it goes back to this idea that the crop is light, and USDA is overstating the corn crop from last year, and they're overstating the soybean crop, and you know that's the only reason basis is good is because they're overstating the crop. Well, the why doesn't matter. Just like kind of almost goes back to the acres thing. The why of prices doesn't matter. What matters is that basis is good. What do you do about it? Basis contracts are pretty popular right now in corn and in soybeans in some areas of the country, which is going to it could be a sticky situation as we get into next week. There's going to be a lot of corn that's going to either have to be priced or rolled. Same thing with soybeans. But make no mistake, the basis, the good basis is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And don't spend too much of your energy trying to fight USDA on their numbers because it usually doesn't work out.
Do you have cash situations in which you go ahead and tell producers what to do about basis at this point? I mean, for instance, if they have a basis contract that's in play with the grain out the elevator, or if they just have grain in storage on the farm, might they want to put it on a basis contract and haul it in?
One thing that I would explore, and this would be different for everybody, what sort of basis is available the further out that you go? There's not a lot of carry in the corn market right now. There's only 7 cents from March to July, and keep in mind the last 4 or 5 years, almost all of your good marketing opportunities in corn have happened in May or June, and I think there might have been one in July. So, if I had to roll a basis contract, I think I'd be interested in going to July for 7 cents rather than going to March for 4 cents. You know, that March to May spread would be 10 to 12 in a normal year, and your March to July would be a lot wider than that. So I think the market's actually giving you a little something to work with here. I mean, I don't like rolling basis contracts. It's not something that I see work out very often. But if you're dead set on keeping this futures board open and kicking the can down the road. I would strongly consider actually the July versus rather than the May when it comes to corn because of the carry and the very little carry that's in the market right now.
And do it this week rather than next week.
I don't know if it matters when you do it. The only way it would matter is if the spreads move between now and the end of next week, and that's possible. So there's always spread risk in either direction. But a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush, and that 7 cents right now looks all right to me.
Hey, thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, Todd.
Joe Vaclavic is with Standard Grain from Gallatin, Tennessee. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. Frankly, one of the easiest ways to listen to us is by using the NPR One app and then just setting it to Illinois Public Media and exploring for the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, even the Opening Market Report. You can do that right there in the application. However you listen to us, thank you so much for taking time and spending with us here at Illinois Public Media and willag.org. Speaking of spending time, kind of hope to see you in a little less than a couple of weeks on Tuesday, the third day of March, over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, for our All Day Ag Outlook. Now, if you have not signed up yet, you're not sure about the details, you can find them all at willag.org. And if you just want to register, you can call 800-898-1065. Again, you can do either of those online or by phone, willag.org to get yourself registered and see all the details, or by calling this phone number, 800-898-1065, to buy your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook. You know, tomorrow there is a soil and water management webinar taking place across the state of Illinois, and you can still sign up. You'll need to call your local extension office right now to be involved in the process, but I'll bet you can find a place not too far from you. Dwayne Friend joins us. He's with University of Illinois Extension. Hey, Dwayne, can you tell me about this seminar, please?
Well, this probably makes at least the 10th time we've done this. Actually, we started out doing these as face-to-face workshops, and over time it's evolved into doing these as webinars because we've also expanded some of our locations for where our speakers are at. Some of those are actually out of state, so to accommodate them, we actually just do it through a webinar, and that way they can stay in their offices and talk. But this is something that we do every other year, and it's mainly for certified crop advisors, although landowners and farmers are welcome to attend as well. It's going to be on February the 20th at multiple locations within Illinois. It's going to run from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we've got some really good speakers coming up this year, some very unique topics as well. We've got Dr. Trent Ford, who's the Illinois State Climatologist. I think we've all seen some of the things that have happened to our farm fields in the last few years with the heavy rainfall events. He's going to talk a little bit about extreme weather trends and potential soil impacts for the future. This next one is really unique. We've got Dr. Sean Jenkins from Western Illinois University. He is a biologist, but also works with controlled burns. And we have a lot of acres in the state that may be under prairie plantings through Conservation Reserve Program acres. And some of those prairies may actually benefit from having a controlled burn. So he's going to talk a little bit about how those are managed, talk a little bit about what that does to soil, and then talk also a little bit about how to manage these burns around other cropland areas that may not be Conservation Reserve Program acres. Another thing that's kind of unique, we have Steve Wilson from the Illinois State Water Survey. In areas where the state where we've got irrigation, those folks do have to do some annual reporting of their water usage. So Steve is going to talk a little bit about how that needs to be done and what folks need to do to get that reporting in. And then our out-of-state speaker is Dr. Kapil Arora. He's from Iowa State University. When we look at tile lines, a lot of times we're just thinking about the drainage aspect of it. But sometimes we can include control structures in that tile and actually kind of control that drainage so that especially in drier times, we can kind of hold that water back so it actually benefits the crop. So he's going to talk about how that works in terms of infield drainage, water management, using those types of control structures. And then our fifth speaker is going to be Nathan Johanning. He's a crops educator with Illinois Extension. And we've all heard a lot about cover crops in the last few years, so he's going to talk about some continuing field research on cover crops and how that relates to soil quality as well.
I take it that those who are coming in will need to do a couple things. They'll need to register. They'll also need to come in, and registration will give them that 4.5 hours of certified crop advisor credits. How do they go about that?
Well, they can contact their local extension office to see if closest location to them that would be hosting one of these webinars, and just call that local office. They can either then find out how to register online or probably do it over the phone. Yeah, and you're right, the registration cost is $45 per person. That includes materials and lunch.
Hey, thanks, Dwayne. Just recapping, this is the Soil and Water webinar. It's tomorrow at Extension offices across the state. You'll need to be at the office, so call your local Extension to see where you can go. And it runs from 9 a.m. to when, Dwayne?
To 2 p.m.
Until 2 p.m. Hey, thanks, Dwayne, for that. Dwayne Friend is with University of Illinois Extension. If you'd like to attend the Soil and Water webinar, you'll need to make your way to a local Extension office that's hosting the event. Call your Extension office to see where that might be. Get yourself registered if you still can. And again, there are 4.5 hours of continuing education units, or CEUs, that are available with this webinar tomorrow across the state of Illinois. Now, on that note, there are a whole series of things going on across the state that you can attend, which Illinois Extension is involved with. Of course, you've got the Soil and Water webinar that takes place tomorrow. Also tomorrow, this one in Springfield, is the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. That starts at 11 o'clock. Show up early and get a look at the bulls. It's always fun to go to an auction there on the state fairgrounds for the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. On the third day of March, don't forget about the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Tickets are just $30 for it. You can register on our website at willag.org and find all the details. It's just, 2 weeks away now? Less than that, so make sure you get yourself registered today. And then that same week, on the 4th and 5th, the Small Grains Conference takes place in Springfield, Illinois. We heard about it yesterday during the closing market report. Look up practicalfarmers.org to find the link for details and a way to get yourself registered for that event. And that's just a small list of the conferences and educational opportunities that are taking place over the next week and a half or so. Be sure to visit our website again. Buy your tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook there at willag.org. And if you look for the calendar, you'll find links to almost everything we have talked about today. Turning our attention now to the weather forecast, we're joined by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Boy, I hope your day is as gorgeous there as it is here, clear and crisp, and I guess it'll be that way for a couple of days. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, we've got a very big, cold, high-pressure center that's working its way into the middle of the country, and that's the reason for the clear skies, and it's going to be rather crisp, but you'll see a lot of sunshine for a little while here. There's some actual snow that's falling right now in parts of the central plains, straight south of the surface high pressure center. We'll see several inches occur across the west central high plains. That'll be good for some of the wheat crop out there, but the heart of the Midwest will get some long and well-deserved sunshine and break from all the wet bias. And boy, eat it up while you can, because we are definitely not done with the wet weather bias there. I think as we go forward into the last days of February and on into March, we're going to see more rain and some snow occurring across the region, keeping the ground probably too wet, and there's going to be a lot of chatter during the month of March about the prospects for that early season planting process. Certainly the Gulf of Mexico coastal states are going to have a tough time getting into their fields on time this year.
More precipitation than normally would come, do you think, at this point in time? Or is it just because everything's so saturated and it continues the problems?
I think it's going to be a combination of several factors. One is definitely the fact that we're already so wet. The other is that we're going to have a cool end to February, and probably the majority of March will end up being cooler biased as well. So we're not going to see good drying conditions when it's not raining. So that's the second slam in the face. And the third thing is that the cold air that's going to be coming down periodically is going to have to fight with some warmer air that'll be present over the southeastern United States. And anytime you get cold and warm or close to each other like that, you get a fairly significant southwesterly flow pattern to evolve, and that always brings rain. So, or precipitation in the form of snow in this case. So it doesn't look real pretty right now, but the hopeful thing here is that maybe we'll get all this wet out of the way in early March, and, you know, maybe by the time we get to April and the heart of the Midwest is ready to rock and roll, things might be better.
Speaking of production that's taking place, and I'll just transition at this point to South America, I'd like to talk about both first and second crop corn there. There were some concerns about first crop corn as it made it to maturity. What did we end up doing, and how's the second crop getting off to its planting season start?
Yeah, that first crop varies quite a bit across the country. I think most everybody did okay this year, but there was some issues with some dryness in Rio Grande do Sul, where yield potentials fell rather significantly because of dryness in a part of that state. And there were other areas in the heart of center-south Brazil that had routine rain for a while, but right during the middle of reproduction, I think things got a little wet and might not have gone over real well. I think the bottom line, though, it's still not a bad scenario. But this first crop of corn is not nearly as big as it used to be, and so it's the second season corn that is so very important to Brazil's bottom line. And the second season crop is going into the ground at a fairly normal pace. Now, there are some issues in Goiás and parts of Minas Gerais where it has been raining a little bit too often, so they're going to be a little bit later getting into the ground there. But for the rest of the second season corn, and for that matter, second season cotton planting, from Mato Grosso into Paraná and parts of São Paulo, I think the situation there in those areas looks just fine. I think they're going to make some good progress. It's not as fast as last year, but that's because those soybeans didn't get planted as quickly as the year before, and there's also been a little bit of rain disruption. But I think things are going to be working out just fine. So the second season crop has a fairly good chance of doing okay. The big concern will be Goiás, I think, because of that delay in getting that crop in the ground. And remember that the monsoonal rains in Brazil usually start withdrawing towards the end of March, and especially in April. And if this is a normal year, these crops that don't get planted until the 1st of March are obviously going to be running on subsoil moisture only to support reproduction, and that just might not bode real well for some of the yields. Crops that are going in the ground now will have a much better chance of having a successful reproductive season.
Hey, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online and buy your tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll be at the Beef House on the third day of March, and for $30, you can join us for the whole day. Details are online. Again, you can go to willag.org or dial this number, 800-898-1065, to purchase your tickets today. But don't wait. Things are filling up fast, and we sure would like to have you on hand. The $30, by the way, buys you the cash grain segment, the future segments on corn and soybeans, the look at the future of agriculture, and a discussion about crop insurance with Gary Schnitke. And Lance Honig will be there to take up USDA reports. He's from Washington, D.C. Should be a great day. I hope you can join us. Again, willag.org or 800-898-1065.